Did you know that Aboriginal people make up 11 to 14% of Australia's rugby league and AFL teams? It's a remarkable achievement considering Aboriginal people make up just 3% of Australia's population. So what is it about Indigenous people that make them so good at footy? John Evans is a Wiradjuri man and Professor of Indigenous Health Education at the UTS Technology in Sydney. He spoke to 8 Aboriginal players about their childhood to find the key. Ellen Lee Beater reports.
So we know that between 11 and 14% of the elite player population in rugby league and AFL are Indigenous. And if you look at some statistics also around, you know, the current Australian rugby league team, almost half the team is Indigenous. And you can look at other things like in 2015, both the NRL and AFL grand finals are both best and fairest players in those games were Indigenous. So the Norm Smith Medal went to Cyril Rioli, and in rugby league, the Clive Churchill Award went to Jonathan Thurston. So Aboriginal players aren't just participating, they're the very pinnacle of the sport.
Which is very interesting that they do have such a high participation rate, yeah. Because Aboriginal people only make up 3% of Australia's general population.
Well, that's right. So that's what I guess what makes the study so interesting. Why does this group of people, why do they perform at such a high level now on a quite a regular basis? So if you look at the development of both those particular sports since they become professional, and I guess also too when you look back in history and look at, say, the things that Nicky Winmar did in 1993 when he, you know, sort of started to speak out against racism, and I guess both those sports have tried since that point to try and improve their connection with the Indigenous community. I mean, we've still got issues in those sports around those particular issues about race, and as Adam's Good has experienced more recently. But the proof is there that, you know, that Aboriginal people are becoming increasingly successful at those two sports, and you know, there's no reason to suggest that that's going to change in the future.
You mentioned Adam Goods there, and the issue of Indigenous people in sport, racism, it is a big one in Australia. Sport is also really big in Australia. Is the fact that more and more Indigenous people are being represented at such a high level, do you think that that can help combat some of the racism?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, even though Adam Goods' case has been well cited in the press and in the media, I think, you know, by actually talking about it, and, you know, 40, 50 years ago, people in the media wouldn't comment on the way they do now. So, you know, you've got very sophisticated media people, you know, trying to raise it as an issue. You know, people like Waleed Ali, for instance, has commented on the Adam Goods, and, you know, really good shows on television such as The Offsiders on the ABC have really contributed to a sophisticated, nuanced debate about sport, and they've actually helped to create a better understanding about racism.
Taking a step back to look at your research again, you mentioned that informal sport was quite important in these communities. I kind of think maybe it's a bit different because you think of non-Indigenous community, yeah, where organised sport is really, yeah, big.
So one of the things that we noticed with the guys in this particular study is that they played a lot of what we call informal sports or backyard sports, or where they would just get together as a group and play games or have contests amongst themselves about a whole range of things. You know, everything from, you know, throwing sticks at a beehive and running away to, you know, forcing backs and British bulldog and all those sorts of things that a lot of us grew up with. But it seems to be in a lot of communities where they don't have access to as much TV or technology, these guys seem to be playing more of it. So I think, you know, that's a really important feature, and it's something that's really hard to replicate in a highly urbanised area. So, you know, a lot of kids who go to school in more urbanised areas might end up going to sort of like really formal skill development programs in either through their sport or for their school, and they probably don't develop the same problem-solving abilities that kids who are engaged in games all the time and have to work things out every day, rather than sort of just going through this sort of instructional process about how to be skillful at sport. And I think that's a really big difference between Aboriginal kids who grow up in those sorts of settings to non-Aboriginal kids, or even Aboriginal kids that grow up in highly structured environments. So I think there is a really significant difference between the sorts of skills that you develop in those open, contested, you know, really creative environments to ones that are stricter and more formal and more sort of based on instruction.
Interesting. So we should be getting kids to play in more informal settings than organisational structures.
Yeah, so I think there's two things there. You know, our schooling system now If you look at the sort of typical kid, he would probably get driven to school in the morning by his parents. Parents probably there to pick him up in the afternoon. The opportunity to walk to school and to play in the park and do the sorts of things that maybe were taken for granted 20 or 30 years ago doesn't happen now. So our job is to get kids out playing, experimenting, trying things, and just chasing each other around in the outside would be a big improvement. And we know from studies around physical activity that doesn't happen as much as it should.
Were these 8 case studies also all men?
Yes, they were.
What about female participation in these communities?
My research didn't focus on that. This is some of the things that we'd like to tease out in the next bit of research that I'm doing around what is the role of sport in Aboriginal communities. So we're hoping that we'll be able to sort of work with a lot more women and be able to sort of even use women investigators for us to talk to people and just to try and find out what the situation is for women. Because we know just from the ABS data that women, especially as they get older in those teenage years, are reluctant to play sport, say, at the same level as their non-Indigenous counterparts or their non-Indigenous men. So if you to look at the pecking order, it goes non-Indigenous men, non-Indigenous females, and then you get a bit of a shift towards Indigenous men, and at the bottom you've got Indigenous women. So there is a very strong argument there to make sure that we're doing more to with Aboriginal women, especially young girls, as they transition out of the sort of like primary school years into high school years, to encourage them to play sport.
John Evans, Professor of Indigenous Health Education from the University of Technology, Sydney, speaking to Ellen Leibeder.